Let's go to Life of the Messiah, page 129 on your handout. In handout. And we are finishing up the invitation by the King in John chapter 12, I believe. And I believe we are on end of page 128. Yeah, 129. So we need to finish up that passage, right? Yeah. I left a question for you last week. Oh, yes, 2 weeks ago. That's right. And the idea that if Jesus is saying in John chapter 12, in the first part of this, that if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to me, that's a clear passage about that all men are welcome to receive salvation, right? So then I left you with a passage on page 129 that said, end of verse 36 on page 129, are you all there on the very top? These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? That's Isaiah 53, by the way. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Huh. That's perplexing. Did he just turn Calvinist all of a sudden? He said, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw them into me. And now he said, you're not going to be able to believe in me because I'm going to prevent you. I'm going to harden your heart. You're not going to see me with your eyes. You won't understand what I'm saying. What's going on here? Is it a paradox, an antinomy? Is it a contradiction? I know what Calvinists like to say, don't they? You must understand. To understand these hard passages, when you see one pastor say, I will draw all men to myself, and then in another one, I will harden you and help and not let you see me, you have to understand the critical issue that has happened to Israel is they have committed the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. They have committed the unpardonable sin as a nation. And when you do that, the nation is bound for judgment. So what you're seeing here is that, yes, he's drawing all people to him, but in Israel's sake, especially when he quotes Isaiah 53, what is Isaiah 53? That's the suffering servant passage out of Isaiah, which, by the way, they avoided reading. And they still avoid it today. They will not read Isaiah 53, and yet it's quoted here. Because they will not recognize Jesus as the suffering Messiah, not only in his day, but this day as well. And so that's why he quotes it. And therefore, what he's doing, therefore, they could not believe because Isaiah said again, the reason he's quoting Isaiah is it's predicted that Israel will reject the Messiah, and the penalty for rejecting the Messiah is judicial hardening. Okay? So it's not that he's not given them a chance to believe. He has presented himself to believe. He has offered. He has said, come to me. But to Israel as a nation, the nation itself has rejected him. Therefore, the penalty to anybody, not just a nation, but even individuals who have been clearly shown who Jesus is, they know all the facts about him. They're not in ignorance. And they have complete full knowledge of who he is and still reject him. There is a judgment attached to that. And it is called judicial hardening. So the nation is being hardened. And what did he do? I showed you back a long time ago. How did he fulfill Isaiah of them not understanding? He went into parabolic mode. Before the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, he spoke plainly. After the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, he spoke in parables. And the reason he spoke in parables is so they wouldn't understand him fully. Because they had rejected him. Now, does that mean that individuals can't come to him? Yes, they can come to him. But as a nation as a whole, he's dealing with them as a nation. The nation is facing judgment now because of that. So, to give you an example individually how this happens, all you have to do is turn to Romans 1. And you will see the judicial hardening of what happens to a person who denies the truth, okay? And Paul will lay this out very clearly, very easy to understand. And I want to read this just for you for just a second. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's what they did, the religious leaders. Jesus presented the truth, and it wasn't a lack of evidence. It was the suppression of the evidence on him. They suppressed the evidence. Okay, so what happens? Yeah. Romans 1, and we're looking at verse 18. So what's the result of suppressing evidence? Well, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts and foolish in their hearts. Hearts were darkened, it says, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among them, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. They became lesbians. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another. That's homosexuality. Men with men, committing what is shameful, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over, that's the third time he said that, to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. And he goes through the list. Okay, so what's the point Paul's trying to make? If you follow Paul's argumentation, he says, when you suppress the truth and you've been given the evidence, you see it in creation, you see it on your conscience, Romans chapter 2, and you say, no, 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 it's not that way, it's not that way, it's not that way. You suppress, suppress, suppress. There's a penalty for suppressing it. Your heart and your mind go dark. And God says, judicial hardening will then happen to you. Not that I'm doing anything to you. I'm just giving you over. And when he does that, that's kind of the worst judgment he could possibly give someone, is to just let you go. You want it this way? I'll just let you go. When he lets someone go, they go dark. They go crazy. They don't think straight anymore. They become irrational. And that's what he says, they go into all kinds of vile passions and all kinds of weird stuff. So you got to add this to then, what then has happened to Israel? Okay? As a nation. The individual Jews came out of it, became the remnant, and they got saved and they accepted Messiah. But the majority of the nation of Israel didn't. So Paul picks up on this judicial hardening. And he'll say it in Romans chapter 11. So on your next page, actually, Fruchtenbaum quotes it. You on your page 130, you have that in your notes. In the middle of the page, Fruchtenbaum will quote Romans 11, 25 through 29. Watch what this is. Watch what's happening here. Paul says this in verse 25, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion." Notice that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. As it's written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election of the nation, by the way, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. That's referring to Israel. Okay, what is this blindness in part, or partial blindness? It refers to the nation. Because the question was, well, what's going on with Israel? And Paul is saying, They have judicially been blinded by God for their rejection of Messiah. But it's only in part, because who can see Messiah? The remnant. And the remnant, the reason they can see is because they accept the evidence, they accept the truth, and they become part of the remnant. Therefore, they see. Therefore, not all of Israel is lost, because there's a remnant that does see Messiah. But the other ones don't, because they refuse to believe. But once you refuse to believe, then you are penalized with judicial hardening or blindness. Blindness in part. Now, sometimes you can't escape that blindness. You can. But that's the penalty. So I guess the way to put it theologically is, if you're presented all the facts about Jesus, and you know all about what he's claimed, you see all the miracles, that brings an obligation, that brings a responsibility. It's not like you're in some backwaters place in the Amazon and you have no idea who God is. But you know fully who he is. And then you reject that, knowing this, because you want to behave the way you want to behave. Well, that's the judgment. There's no neutral ground. That's his point. You don't get to say, I'm just going to keep living the way I want to live. I know all about Jesus, but I don't want to accept him. Then you don't get to stay neutral. I guess that's the point. Then there's a penalty attached to that. And the penalty is, you will go blind. This is why, after about age 18 or 19, it's like 1% gets saved after that. Where do the majority of salvations come? 75% before the age of 12. The other 25% or 24% in their teens. And then after like 18, 19, you're down to 1% for the rest of the lives. That's how bad it is. Because the heart, the longer it goes without Christ, gets dark, corrupted, and they can't see anymore. Now, again, I'm not trying to give up hope on people, because I have family members that are adults and are lost as a ball in high weeds. And I know they're in that percentage of 1%. I know that. I still don't give up on them. I still pray for them. I still try to live my best in front of them. But I know they're part of the 1%. I hope they're part of the 1%. It scares me. But that's just statistics, man. And you can't get away from that. Majority of people get saved before the age of 12. It is. I know. And we're watching these millennials ages 10 to 29 at a 4% level of being born again. There's no hope for a culture. If you want to think a culture be Christianized, it's not going to be with them. And so the point is that he's making it is the hardening, the blindness comes after they have rejected him. That's the point. Not before. So that Calvinists will take it as, well, he blinds people and then he lets people see and he's just arbitrary. That's not what's happening here. Isaiah is talking about the penalty that comes from rejecting Christ. And I hope I'm clear as a bell on that. Because if you don't get this, a Calvinist will take this and run with this. It's after someone has been presented the facts. Now, here's the deal. I have family members that know all about Christ. They know about his miracles. They know who he is. They know he's God. He claims to be Messiah. They see the evidence. And yet they refuse. And what's happening to them as I'm watching him, they're getting crazier and crazier by the year. Now, I'm not talking like mental disease and need to be put up. I'm watching them and I see what they accept in society. I see the kind of lunacy that they accept, that they would vote for Bernie Sanders and they would do crazy things and not think that Planned Parenthood, that they did anything wrong by chopping up those babies. They're losing their moral faculties, man. And I'm watching this happen before my eyes. They're decaying in front of me. And I'm freaking out watching their decay. But that's what God is saying in Romans 1. They're starting to decay morally. That's what's happening into Israel. And that's what he's trying to point out. So if you continue on back in there, there's hope there. And if you look at verse 41, these things Isaiah said when he saw the glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, Now here's the hope. Check this out, because they could escape this still. Even among the rulers, many believed in him. So they still could come out of the judicial hardening. They still could come out of the blindness. That's hope for me, for my family members. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Did you see that? They got saved and wouldn't make a public profession of their faith. You know how they wouldn't do it? Not only would not they would not claim that they accepted Messiah, they wouldn't get baptized. What is your public profession of faith? It is baptism. If you look at 1 Peter, he will mention that the problem they're having among the Jews is they won't get baptized. And that was early on in the church because it was Jewish. Because what happens if you got baptized? You are cut off from the synagogue. He says it right here. Watch. Lest they should be put out of the synagogue. You know what that means, being put out of the synagogue? Excommunicated. What that means, don't think about it in church terms. Well, if that church kicked me out, I'll just go up the road to First Presbyterian, this, that, and I'll go join up with those boys. When you're put out of the synagogue, that means no one's going to do business with you. No one's going to buy your product. No one will fellowship with you. You are an outcast of that Jewish community. You might as well move to Gentile territory. So you lost your economics. You lost your social standing. You are your persona non grata. So guess what happened? There were all these secret believers in Jesus who wouldn't say it. So now let's bring to the point of Easter, and you think about Easter, what happened during that time. Who went out there and buried the Lord's body? Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, who were part of these rulers that believed in him, and they were not ashamed of him. So guess what happened to Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea? You need to study Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very wealthy man. He was very influential. Nicodemus ends up a pauper at the end of this for burying our Lord. He was cut off. He lost his status. He was nothing. He lost everything. He dies in poverty because of that being cut off from the synagogue. And he was a head of a synagogue, by the way. He was a ruler. He lost everything. So you imagine these people, these Christians today, that are getting ready to lose their job for being a Christian because someone's putting social media things on there and they're saying, I'm a Christian, but I don't agree in this gay marriage thing and stuff like that. They're going to lose their job. Well, guess what? Nicodemus beat you to it. He lost everything for getting himself out there. So that's why this is even stating that these Pharisees wouldn't even do it. For look what it says about them. This is the motivation. This is sickening. These are believers. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And he's talking about believers. Oh, man. Verse 44. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me, the Father. Because you're going to believe the testimony of the Father, right? And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, and that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in that day. That's how they'll be judged. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. So therefore, when you accept me, you accept the testimony of my Father, which is the Old Testament. And again, you trace this to John chapter 6. I will draw all men to myself in John chapter 12. But then you marry it with John chapter 6. No one can come to me unless the Father draws him, is through the Scriptures. And that's Isaiah 53:10. So the Father draws them through the Scriptures. So if you believe the word of the Father, the Old Testament, you will believe the Son, because the Son is saying the same words. That's how that works. Anyway, that is a very interesting passage, But again, it continues to show you that, yes, the penalty for not believing in Jesus is judicial hardening and darkness, but you still can escape it, as these guys did. They still can escape it. So it's not a permanent deal. It's just you don't get to stay neutral. You just don't get to stay neutral spiritually. That's the whole point of the passage.